Housing for the Aged Action Group, HAG for short, a housing group for older people run by old people. Present
Raise the Roof!
We advocate for secure, affordable and appropriate housing. So listen up on the second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 5:30pm on 3CR 855 on your AM dial.
That's right, you're listening to HAG's Raise the Roof show on 3CR 855 AM. My name is Fiona and I'm joined in the studio today with Liz. How are you going?
Hi Fiona. Just thinking, reflecting on the intro song, how it is very relevant to the themes of our show today.
It is indeed, because we are talking about the Victorian fires that have impacted a lot of Victoria over the last few days. We are recording this on Monday, the 12th of January. So by the time this goes to air, things may have changed because the fires are still going and it's a very dynamic situation. But we have an interview that we just recorded then with our three regional workers who are talking about the impacts of both the heat wave preceding the fires and the fires which kicked off in a big way on Friday. So we'll go straight to that interview now. So we're joined today by three of our regional workers, Anne, Leanne and Teresa, who all live and work in the Goulburn Valley region, which has been impacted by the fires this week. And so we got them on because we wanted to have a chat about both the heat waves and the fires and what they're seeing out on the ground there. And we're going to start with Teresa because she's in an area that currently has no power and patchy mobile phone reception, and her phone might die at any time. So starting with you, Teresa, firstly, could you tell us a little bit about what you did last week on the very hot day and in terms of preparing your clients and what the situation is now on the ground?
Yep, no worries. On Wednesday, obviously the start of the really hot weather, I phoned around a few clients just to see how they're going to be able to cope with the obviously extreme hot weather. What strategies did they have in place? And most of them were reasonably okay. They had air conditioning and if not a fan. And a lot of the older clients realised that if that's all you've got, you know, you have a wet face washer and you can keep yourself cool like that. But they were preparing for the worst, and obviously the worst did happen. Three really extreme hot, windy days in this particular area. But on phoning around, I got a mixed review on people. But all in all, they were pretty positive about they're going to be able to cope with the extreme weather. So I was really happy to sort of let them know that we're thinking about them and that we know that it is going to be a bit of a tough slog for them.
Mm.
And they were really appreciative of the phone call.
Yeah, I bet. And, of course, lots of people are living in small towns, perhaps on the edges of towns as well, which are more vulnerable to the grass fires and the fires that have come through. Do people generally know what to do? Do they have a fire plan? Do they have transport? Do they know what they should do in order to prepare for an extreme fire day?
Well, we spoke very briefly about that because a lot of people were just sort of saying, look, we're going to be fine. But we do have people living in bushland. Mm. We have people living in caravans. Some have no transport. So I can imagine it would be extremely difficult to even think about a fire plan when you've got so many things against you.
Mm.
However, we did talk about who could they turn to if they really needed to get somewhere fast or needed to really go, you know, have some relief.
Yeah.
We spoke about what if they did have a power outage, how would they cope then? And that's when they came up with the wet face washers and, you know, things like that. They obviously have thought reasonably well about their strategies to keep cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think we ever thought it was going to be, and not just that the heat was pretty overwhelming, the wind as well was very drying and, you know, a lot more worried about their plants, as we all were. So, we did have a bit of a chat about having a little bit of a plan, fire plan, about what if things did get turned worse. But I didn't want to, we didn't go too far into it because I didn't want to, scare them to a point where they overthought things.
Yeah, and I guess at that stage we weren't really thinking about fires. We were just thinking about heat waves because at that point we didn't have actually any fires to worry about. But in the subsequent days, of course, we did have quite a number of big fires which impacted a lot of the region that we cover through the Goulburn Valley, so around the sort of Harcourt, Castlemaine area, and then up through the Seymour, Kilmore, all the way up to almost Echuca, around the kind of Shepparton region. And then, of course, there's a big one over at Corryong as well, still going today. We're recording this on Monday, by the way, to listeners. So you mentioned that where you live at the moment, there's a lot of smoke and you haven't got any power, any TV reception.
No, that's right. We haven't had any TV reception for a few days now. I think it went out on Friday night, which is really concerning because a lot of Boulder people do rely on watching the news and they're listening to their radio if possible. And a lot of people I know are saying, I'll just go to your live streaming. And how do people actually do that if they are unaware of what all of that means? And, my husband, who's a little bit younger than me, even that's over his head.
Yeah.
So it is very daunting to sort of know where to turn. And we're not going to have any TV reception for, they're saying, about 3 weeks. So I imagine that would be a little bit daunting for older clients. And as you say, the fires, actually in my area, we had a fire the weekend before all of this happened, and the smoke just from that fire was pretty taxing.
Yeah.
But the smoke from all of these fires, it just gets a little bit, you just start to feel a little bit sick in yourself because it's just a constant, that's all you're breathing in. And we're a long way away from the fires, compared to a lot of other people. So I imagine it would be pretty awful to be a lot closer and have to inhale that all the time.
I'd love to hear more about the impacts of smoke. In terms of, so the government asked us to all subscribe to the Vic Emergency app and to have that on our phones. But with what you're saying about people largely getting their information from television and the TV reception being down for such a long time, do you think there is an information gap, and are people not using the Vic Emergency app? Is it too much to kind of, because the technology associated with that is a bit much for people?
Yeah.
I've even found it a little bit difficult. My husband has the Vic Emergency app on his phone, but it doesn't actually go over to my phone. And I try to download it, and there's a lot of things you have to, get your head around to be able to do that. A lot of older clients don't have phones that are actually compatible with that type of mechanisms. So I imagine it'd be frustrating. And they're saying, I think the radio is back on now, but what's happened to these people when they are finding that they've got no radio, no TV? How are they getting them the information across? It must be quite frightening.
Yep.
Especially when there's evacuation orders happening, and they're happening very quickly too as the wind changes. Mm. Yeah.
Yes, I actually rang my brother who's in Nethaya, and I said to him, how are you going with the fires? And he said, oh, what fires? And I said, well, have a look out. And he actually took a photo from his front door, and he could see a heap of smoke and in the distance flames. So he's sitting in his house, not knowing what was going on in the world at all. He's a little bit older than me. And that was frightening to me to think that he wasn't even aware of what was going on.
As it was coming over the hill almost. I might go to you now, Anne. So you've been supporting clients that have been impacted by the Longford fire, and you recently, just today, found out that one of your older renters has been very badly impacted. Would you be able to tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So she's been renting a small cottage on a large farm, like a 3,000-acre farm. So she's... she's lost her home and her car, and I did contact her along with a lot of other clients on the Thursday before the really hot day, and she had a plan to evacuate to a friend's house, and which she did. And I've just been following up today with my clients to see, you know, how they're travelling. And I just phoned her, and she was in tears and really distressed because she's, as I say, she's lost her home, and she couldn't afford the contents insurance because it's too high. So there's nothing's covered by insurance. And she's staying temporarily with some friends, but it's not sort of ideal because it's just so she's basically left her house just with her dog, the dog food and a bag of clothes. That's it.
Wow.
And will she be eligible for any of the kind of government disaster payments as a renter?
I would say so. And also with the housing application, well, now obviously should be the emergency management category.
Yeah, right.
As well. So I'll be making quite a few calls today to just try and see what I can do to help her.
Pretty horrible situation for her. And I imagine she's obviously an older woman as well.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, Leanne, you drove up to Yarrawonga today, I believe. What was it like driving through some of the fire-affected areas today?
So we actually were diverted because with that Makatai, Yarrawea and Cobram area, there's a lot of roads actually cut off. And you can't get from Kadamatite to Cobram the direct way. So there was lots of smoke. You could just see smoke in the air. It was actually, quite sad to see. I mean, we're seeing the after effect, but I couldn't imagine if you were there with and as Therese was saying earlier, like smelling that smoke and having that around you and the fear of what you're going to lose. But yeah, so it's still very smoky, and lots of roads are still closed. At the moment, it's a stay and sort of watch the fires like under control, but there's still alerts all in that area.
Yeah.
Due to it being burnt.
Yeah, and you also did a ring around of your vulnerable clients and last week as well. What struck you about the conversations you were having with older people in the region then?
So a concern I've had also was the ones I couldn't get in contact with.
Yeah.
And the concern of that there was no other contacts that they had, there was no other emergency contacts, which just shows how vulnerable they are.
Yeah.
So that person is actually in that sort of area, that not right next to it, but within that area. So still tried again today, trying to get some clarity around if this person is okay, but still unable to contact them, which is largely due to phone lines and stuff as well. So
just having
not having the phone calls and that getting through, like, as Teresa was saying, like they've been sort of off the grid with a lot of their services and stuff. And another one that, as Teresa had mentioned, with we were giving places to go, so libraries, you know, cool places. And what would you do if your air conditioner broke down?
Yeah.
I've got a client that doesn't even have an air conditioner.
Yeah. And what strategies did they have?
So they were putting flannels in the freezer, and she was more worried about the dog and her pets. So she was using that to wipe her dogs down, making sure they had water. So, like, obviously then reiterating that, you know, if you're not well, then you can't look after your dogs. But it sort of flagged that it's fine to tell them where they can go, but there's nowhere that sort of takes animals. And a lot of people won't go without their animals.
Yeah.
So, yeah. and that sort of stood out as well.
And there's obviously limited public transport in a lot of these, especially in the smaller towns. Do you have people who don't drive, who don't have cars that are that may be impacted as well?
So, yes, there is. So then we spoke about ways around that and, you know, the place they're going, can they get there and how they're going to. And, so it would be like a family member picking them up or, yeah, so sort of problem solved, that sort of stuff as well. But, yeah, this person felt they had nowhere to go. They weren't going to get affected by the fire, but the heat was enough. And, yeah, no air conditioning and two dogs, and they found it difficult to be able to go anywhere.
Yeah.
To stay cool.
Yeah. Of course, we're very concerned about older renters and the impact of the different, I guess, divide there is between an older renter and an older homeowner. You particularly see it in natural disasters. And I know that a lot of homeowners don't have insurance either, but particularly renters don't have contents insurance when they're spending all their money on rent. But there are different obligations that rental providers or landlords have in order to make the property, I guess, safe again after a fire or after a flood, and urgent repairs and things like that, and even potential rent reductions. Liz, do you want to quickly outline some of those things that people might not be aware of, and then perhaps we can get a sense from the regional team about whether or not older renters know about this?
Yeah, you outlined some of them, Fiona, and I think one of the big things is when there is a disaster that happens, if there is damage to the premises as a result of that event, then renters might feel like it's their responsibility to do all of the cleaning up, whereas it's actually their rental provider, it's the homeowner's responsibility in those circumstances. And certainly with the urgent repairs, owners do need to make sure that the premises are still livable and that any repairs that need to happen still happen quickly. The timeframes don't change for those things, so urgent repairs are still urgent. If there's a toilet that's not working, for example, it's still, you don't kind of get, you know, inordinate amount of time as an owner to fix that. But certainly, in terms of their renters, they need to still have a home that is, livable and in a fair condition. So the repairs are important to be done by the owner. And for places that where there's a real estate agent involved, then I think keeping on top of that as the renter is important, because a real estate agent can make sure stuff gets done.
And do you think, Anne, Teresa and Leanne, that your clients that are renting would know about the obligations of landlords, and do you think they'd be comfortable to ask for that sort of stuff?
No, I don't think many of them would know this, and also would be worried about if they raise a concern that their rent might be, you know, put up or something, you know.
Mm.
So, I
agree. I've got some people that I think that are more scared of the repercussions of complaining or questioning.
Yeah, yeah. And what we wouldn't want to see is situations where people can't return to the home, either because it's been damaged, or even if it hasn't been damaged, they can't get there because of road closures or restrictions or transport, but still having to pay large amounts of rent. Do you think there'd be possibilities of asking for rent reductions, or what do you know, Liz, what the process is for people to ask for reduced rents during disasters?
Yeah, well, the process would be that if a renter needs to move out, for example, because the place can't be lived in and repairs need to happen, then, they would speak to their real estate agent, the property manager, or if it's directly, then that would be with their homeowner themselves. And so for times that, for whatever period of time, you can't live there, it'd be working out what the you know, what would be the timelines for that and the money that would be equivalent in terms of rent reduction. But I guess sometimes it's just like it might be one room or two rooms that are impacted, and then I guess, you know, some people can stay in a different section of the house. So it might be there's a portion of the house that's not usable, and then the rent reduction that you would ask for would be equivalent to that kind of percentage of the house. Yeah.
Yeah. Back to you, regional workers. What do you think it's going to be like in the next, you know, weeks and months supporting older people that have been impacted by these fires? Obviously, there has been a lot of homes lost, which means that there'll be fewer places for people to move back into as well. You all have been through the floods in the last couple of years as well, which has had a similar impact on the rental market. Do you have any kind of thoughts or hopes or fears about what the next month or so will bring for your clients impacted by the fires?
Well, in my experience, like with the floods, it was very hard for clients to get the information they required. So some clients were able to access, you know, government grants and so forth, and some, you know, didn't sort of receive them, like sort of, yeah, sort of just depended if you had the information or you knew who to contact.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the fragmented systems, you know, so, and knowing where to go to get help.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a challenge and a barrier.
For sure. And, of course, lots of older people have been through bad fires before. They've been through the Black Saturday fires and had other experiences, and this must be really triggering for them too. Have you heard about, and I guess, people's reactions in that way as well?
Yes, I've got clients that have been through past disaster events like the floods or fires, and it just really triggers them and triggers their anxiety and post-traumatic stress as well. Yeah, so, yeah. They're like hyper-vigilant and, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
It can take such a long time to recover from that, but to have, for people who have already experienced that, and then to have another experience of that, I imagine must be horrendous. You started talking a bit about smoke before. Are you able to elaborate more on how the smoke is impacting people and what the health services are going through? And also in terms of your clients, do people have particular plans around smoke? Are your clients being impacted by that?
Yes, I've got clients that have been impacted by the smoke and the smoke haze, and who are living, like, you know, with like lung conditions and like asthma. So they've got to really stay indoors with all the windows closed up, and make sure they've got their inhalers close by and, you know, all the what they need. A lot of older renters and older clients, they have various health conditions, and so it can really impact them, the smoke.
Yeah, for sure. It's exhausting too, breathing in the smoke. It's harder to move around. It's harder to get motivated. It's really horrible.
Mm. And it's just the heat that, you know, kills people too, obviously, you know, the radiant heat and, you know, And so three days we've had that really hot weather. That really knocks older people around.
Yeah, for sure. Was there any final thoughts that any of you had reflecting on the last few days? I think we might have lost Teresa, but Anne or Leanne?
I just sort of think, and it is impacting their mental health as well, for the fact of, so we had those extreme heat days where there was fire, but this one at Cobram, like near sort of Yarra Weir and that was like, sort of your Friday, Saturday, like it was Friday, but your Saturday, like that real wind. So I think the fear of heat's there, but then the wind, and then all of a sudden we get a cool day, but then it's windy, then all of a sudden we get another hot day. So it's that unknown.
Yeah.
So it's living on the edge sometimes. That must be what some of them are feeling like. Like, yeah, it doesn't have to be extreme heat, and it doesn't have to be total winds, but, yeah, like any combination. So I think it's that weight, every day. Like there's some sort of trying to think, some sort of fuel that can cause a fire. So a lot of them are sitting on tender hooks waiting to see, you know, is it going to flare up again, or are we going to have a fire?
Yeah.
Because in our area there are so many living in like bush areas.
Yeah.
Another huge thing people are worried about at the present also too, with this change of weather and the quick from heat to cold, is trees falling down. So there's lots of trees falling down as well. Stuff like that tends to happen,
if there's a few hot days it dries them out, but then when it cools down, that's when those big branches can drop. So it can be an unexpected thing on a cool day.
There's lots of worries,
For sure.
Impacting, which is like can be really detrimental to mental health.
Yeah, stressful. Well, thank you all for all of the fantastic work that you're doing in the region at the moment, particularly checking in on people and making them, you know, aware that people are thinking of them and caring about their well-being. And, of course, all three of you stay safe as well. The fires aren't over yet, and it looks like we've got a long summer ahead of us. So thanks again for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Disasters like flood, fire, and extreme heat can have a significant impact on people's lives. Community legal centres help people experiencing challenges posed by climate change and disasters to access the resources and support they need. Disasters can lead to a range of problems, such as damage to your home, poor conditions with your rental home, difficulty getting insurance, issues within families, at work, and with Centrelink payments. Community legal centres can be found across Victoria and can provide help if you've been affected by a disaster. To find a community legal centre near you, visit the Federation of Community Legal Centres website at fclc.org.au. You can also contact Disaster Legal Help Victoria on 1800 113 432 and go to its website for helpful information at disasterlegalhelp.org.au. The Federation of Community Legal Centres is a 3CR supporter.
Welcome back. You're listening to Hags Raise the Roof Show on 3CR 855 AM and digital and online. You're with Fiona and Liz, and we've just about run out of time today, but I wanted to mention a couple of things regarding the discussion we've been having around fires. And I know that some people think that it's not a good time to be talking about climate change, but when else should we be talking about it when the impacts of these much, much hotter, stronger fires are occurring? And HAG has made a conscious decision to be putting more recommendations and more thought into climate change and the impact on older people and particularly on older renters. One of the things that we've done is we've put in a submission to the Victorian's climate change strategy, which we've said needs to have a specific focus on older Victorian renters, particularly those that are financially disadvantaged. And we'd like to see that all rental properties are climate resilient, with a focus on vulnerable households. So retrofitting and prioritising those homes that people won't be able to afford to do the modifications without government assistance. So we shouldn't have a two-tier system where we have older people who own their own homes able to afford insulation and aircon and solar panels and everybody else living in rundown, expensive housing on the outskirts of very vulnerable towns. So I just wanted to mention that because it is all connected. Now, Liz, there are some places where people can go for assistance if they are impacted by the fires or if they're an older renter. Would you be able to tell us about those?
Yeah, that's right. So Consumer Affairs Victoria has got a disaster help hotline, and that is 1300 55 8181, and they've also got some information on their website, Consumer Affairs Disaster Help. If people are needing support and assistance with their housing, older renters can call Housing for the Age Action Group on 1300 765 178. So that's if you've got a tenancy related issue or you need assistance with finding housing, you can give us a call.
And we're just about out of time, so we're now going to go to an Archie Roach song, which is called A Child Was Born Here. We'll see you next time. Bye.